Hello, freedom seekers, and welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sutherland, and joining me today is another fantastic guest episode. I'm excited for this. Joining us is Behdad Jamshidi, who's the founder of CJAM, the marketing connector. And this episode is for you if you are somebody who's kind of wondering, like, at what point should I start outsourcing some things, especially in the marketing realm? Because let's face it, that can be the piece that takes up so much of our time, right? Especially for solopreneurs or just getting started. So our guest today is going to help us decide when that time is right. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much for
Thanks.
joining us. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer and follow me on Facebook and Instagram.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, Lindsay.
Me too. I'm excited for this conversation. It's such an important one. But before we jump into that, can you just kick it off a little bit? Tell us, like, how did you get into being this marketing connector?
Yeah, just a quick 1 minute background. So most people don't know that I'm an engineer by trade. So I used to work for a company up in Canada called TELUS, very similar to Verizon in the States. And a lot of my work was working with mid-sized companies, 50 to 1,000 type employer range, understanding what's going on from a C-level perspective, IT perspective, and then building out technology roadmaps. Like, how do you get from A to B to C as an organization? And so I got to work with like the Lushes of the world, large law firms, not-for-profits, manufacturing, like multi-location senior homes. And so that's where a lot of my business consulting, sales, leadership, and technology experience came from. On the other side of the fence, 7 years ago, I started my business. I started building out websites, Google Ads, and SEO. And I got to a point where I really quickly hated doing 80-hour websites on the weekend. They just weren't very fun. And I didn't really need to do them because I got paid very well as a sales engineer. So I started looking for different marketing partners to work with and very quickly realized most marketing agencies don't understand business and most businesses don't really understand marketing. So there's always a gap in the middle. And I thought, okay, could I bridge this gap? Maybe I can find 10 marketing partners and solve all the world's problems. Little did I know that they didn't, like, when you put people in the same meeting, they didn't speak the same language. 11% of marketing agencies are good at one to three things, 89% are good at nothing. And I've talked to over 1,109 different marketing agencies and experts to date. And I work with about 11%. So the entirety of what I do is I talk to businesses, see what they need, and then matchmake them with the different marketing they need, whether it's websites, branding, SEO, Google Ads, and et cetera.
Well, what's really interesting to me is I personally know so many people who have worked with high ticket marketing agencies and gotten little to no results. And it really just puts a bad taste in people's mouth. It makes them fearful, nervous to hire somebody else. Because especially if you are a business owner, like for example, the log cabin home company I used to work with when I first moved up here, they would have a company come in and tell them, make all these promises, right? We're going to get you so many houses, this, that, and the other. And they spent tens of thousands a month and nothing. And they were like a luxury home builder. It wouldn't have been that hard to get an ROI. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And yet then they were just like, nothing ever seems to work. It doesn't matter how much money we've spent. We just can't seem to figure out what to do. And I've learned through that there's so much fluff. Like they give you such BS and be I don't normally say bad words on the podcast, but it just seems like that. So much of them can be doing that. And if you don't know what questions to ask, like these guys, they build log cabins. They don't understand cloud and this, that, and the other. We had a just as a side story, we had a marketer come in. And this is an example. I know other people have run into this. I happen to know enough to ask certain questions, right? And he came in and they were talking about how they were building out all these landing pages that were keyword optimized for locations, like Log Cabin Builder, North Carolina, Log Cabin Builder, blah, blah, blah. And he was telling us that they were like making it so that all these pages were driving all this traffic and showing us all these fancy slides and all this. And I was genuinely interested. I said, wow, that is so cool. How did you do that? Because I had access to the back end of the website and I never saw any of those landing pages. And so I was like,
Interesting.
where are they? Like, that's so, what did you do? Duplicate our site? Like, how is this happening? Like, in my mind, I'm trying to figure it out. And he looked at me and he's like, I can't give away all my secrets. It's in the cloud. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Of
Whoa.
course, this was in, I mean, way before AI and some of the amazing technology we have now that's probably still not even that good, you know? But it definitely was instantly like obvious. There was nothing really going on. I and you
Yeah.
couldn't you couldn't get you couldn't back out of that, right? What was he gonna do? So I know this happens, and I think it's so cool that you've spent all this time vetting people. That is such an asset to any business. Like,
Yeah. You
I
understand the pain
understand.
points. And I love as you're going, you're like, you've hidden all the pain points. You realize, you know, a lot of them just kind of put stuff on a slide and you go, yeah, this is how we do it. And you're like, let's dig a little deeper. What did you actually do there? And then the funny part is like when you ask them, can I actually talk to that customer? It's like, oh no, they're not a reference, right? Like all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay. So if the results were as good as you were saying, why wouldn't this customer want to jump on a call and let me know how good you are, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of the times, like marketing agencies, like they only understand certain channels, they don't understand all channels. There's just so much we can talk about on that as well. It
Yep.
goes pretty deep.
And they like to guide you. Not to, we're not sitting here trying to rag on them, but this is kind of one of those episodes that we're bringing awareness to business owners, right? And if you
Yeah.
don't know what you don't know, then you wouldn't know to ask, or you wouldn't know who to reach out to. And, you know, I've seen how you're right. They usually have their thing they specialize in, and that's what's so intimidating, because they'll spend their full sales time talking to you, convincing you that their way is right for you. And I'm not here to say it's wrong, because I don't know the whole situation. It could be the perfect thing, but there's a lot of times where there could be more unique ways, less expensive ways that might get you more reach. Like, so for example, with that log home company, I said we should start a podcast. And I was their office manager, and I was there all the time. I knew I was writing their blogs and such. And so we launched a podcast. It's extremely inexpensive in retrospect. It made global reach, and we started getting leads, people
Nice.
calling, you know, saying, hey, what about this? What about that? But it was never an agency would have ever said, go start a podcast. You know, that wouldn't have happened.
Unless it was a podcast agency. I think that's the only one that would have done it.
But if
But
you were the business owner and you didn't have the idea to begin with, you would have never
you would have
thought
never
to
had
go
it.
that route, you know?
Yeah, and that's
So,
one of the things I tell the business owners that I work with. I'm like, you need to actually know what your marketing strategy is first before you go out to start hiring agencies. Because if you talk to an SEO agency, they're going to sell you SEO. You go talk to a Google Ads agency, they're going to sell you Google Ads. They're not going to go, hey, by the way, have you thought about this podcast strategy or a conference strategy or a referral model strategy? Or maybe you should just invite your VIP customers to a party at your office and tell them to invite someone with you. Like, it doesn't need to be super, super difficult. And depending on the size of business that you're at, it's going to depend on which channels make sense based on the budget that you have to actually run those channels effectively.
oh, so true. And especially now with how saturated the online space is getting, with how easy it is to create content and how many players there are, it's just going gangbusters, and it's not going to get any easier.
No, AI has gone crazy. I was literally on a call just earlier today with someone that just runs like an AI software that literally does all your engagement for you. It has pre-canned responses. So even like the engagement on LinkedIn, there's just so much AI happening. And on top of that, like how we can pull all the information from all the stuff that you've done. Like it's just the software that just can grab all the information and bring it in, and then add it into your notes and then send messages to you that look like this person has spent a lot of time researching you, but really it's just AI's been able to make things so much easier. There's so much more content going out there, so it's going to get even more confusing, more fluffy. And so it's going to be like, how do you stand out in the midst of all this while using these same softwares? Because you're going to fall behind if you don't. So it's such a weird balancing act right now.
It is. It really is. And it's also challenging because people, this is like a whole new territory. We don't even know what we're up against. We only know what the past is. But if we keep doing business like we did last year, in 6 months, it's going to be obsolete. It's just,
Yeah.
it's insane how fast it's moving.
Yeah. And in the beginning, I was kind of like wary. I mean, the engineer brain in mind is like, okay, what are the edge cases we got here? But the more and more I'm learning, it's like, oh, wow. Okay. There's certain agencies that instead of needing four copywriters, they just need one now. Instead of needing five designers, they only need one now. There's some crazy efficiencies being done. And that's on the small scale.
Yeah.
We're not even looking at some of the bigger scale stuff where the amount of data that can be ingested now and spit out with responses and communicated with is insane. Like, there's some really, really large companies spending nine figures on AI to do things like map the entire geo landscape of Canada and go, based on what you know, where should we be reinforcing? In which hills should we be reinforcing for mudslides? No human could have done that before. But
Oh my
now with AI,
gosh.
it's like, hey, You have a hospital and 400 homes here, whereas over here you only have, 50. Which one are you going to prioritize? Right. So there's some like, and that's like a nine-figure project. It's not little
Well,
amounts of money
because
going in.
these are jobs that were $250,000 a year and analysts, and I feel for the analysts, because can you imagine like earning that much money a year and then suddenly your job's obsolete, you went to school. I mean, I don't even know. I pray that something good is going to work itself out. I feel like usually it does happen that way. I just don't see it yet, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
And
know. I think what I'm seeing is that if you're really, really good at strategy and understanding like the system, like you, if you're like the highest level copywriter, you're like a really high level designer, like that's where I think like you become more and more important. Like the people that are very, very niche and really good at things, or the people that can bring a lot of systems together, which isn't any different than history, right? Like those people are still super, super important. It's just like the bar is being raised, right?
You definitely have to position yourself to compete with AI now. It's like we're using it as a tool, but it's also a competitor. So it's really
100%.
bizarre,
100%.
actually.
100%.
Oh my gosh. So the question that we started out with was, when should a business owner or a solopreneur or a up and comer decide that it's time to outsource help with marketing? Because it is an angle we often do to ourselves. Why? Because it's free and we need to build up in our audience, or we think maybe this is the starting point, is like, what limiting beliefs are we having holding us back from even exploring the option? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a great question. And so I actually have a model that I've kind of built out on like the five like types of marketing agencies and partners and kind of when they align with businesses. So I think this would be really useful for anyone that can kind of just grasp the overall, hey, as my business evolves, how do I do this? And so the first level, I consider kind of like that freelancer contractor type person. And typically they fit really well for businesses that are, let's say, from zero to $500,000 a year, where you as the operator are, putting up your own social media posts, you're writing your own things, you're putting things in all these different places. And so it's like, okay, how do you take some of these tasks off your plate? Maybe they are $10 to $20 hour tasks. And when you're, billing on your customers for contracting or consulting services, you're charging 150. It just makes sense to get those off your plate and pass that off to someone. As your business starts growing, let's say you're in between that 500 to, $3 million range. This is at this point, you start hiring like more value-based agencies. And what I consider a value-based agency is you hire them for the very specific thing that you want them to do well. And then the stuff that they do on the side of their desk just helps you improve. So let's just say that you're really good and you know that Google ads and Facebook ads is what drives most of your traffic. Cool. You'll hire an agency that's a full service agency. I do it with air quotations. That's really good at Facebook and Google ads, but they also might do social media posting for you and some influencer work for you on the side. And you know that that's just kind of like they do that at average, but they're really good at the main thing that you need them to do, right? Once you start getting to that $3 million to $10 million space, you really found product market fit at this point. And your goal is to evolve past that value-based agency and find very specific skill sets. So either you're hiring very niche agencies that only do SEO for like your type of business, or they do Google Ads, or they do email marketing, and you usually will have at least one person in-house that can bridge them all together to make sure they're following the same strategy and the same plan. This is also where fractional CMOs play in a part, because a lot of times businesses get to that $3 to $10 million range, and you go, well, what's your marketing strategy? And they're like, well, we've thrown a bunch of things at the wall, and we've done some advertising, and that's how we got here. We don't actually have a marketing strategy or a plan. That's when you need to start looking for a fractional CMO, and that's when when I'm talking to those types of customers and they don't have strategies, I'll input the fractional CMO first before I even talk about what agencies make sense to put in their environment. Once you're gonna pass that range, now you're in like that $10 million to $30 million range, and you start hiring level four partners, and these guys are basically people that manage full funnels. Think of a funnel as in someone who runs like the paid ads. Then they manage the actual landing page and the conversion rate optimization on the page. And then it goes into email, and then they manage the email. They're basically managing end to end. And these agencies are not cheap, right? Like your retainers are going to be anywhere from like $10,000 to $30,000 a month because of the multiple teams they have to bring together to allow that funnel to run. And your ad budget is likely in the $100,000 a month plus budget, right? And then final, the level five is when you start getting into enterprise level agencies. And this is when you're an enterprise, you can pay someone, $1 million for your marketing budget, and they will go and then hire the consultants on the back end based on what they need to accomplish for you, whether that's a creative campaign, whether that's a programmatic campaign, or whatever it is. And so these are kind of like the five different levels of partners that I've found after having vetted over 1,000 of them.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I like that how you broke it down by business dollar amount. The question I think is for chief market to know when it's time to look for a fractional CMO. Is that something like it? Like, I guess what I'm trying to get to is where is the listener at in their journey? Like they're sitting there, they're doing something, right? And they're feeling burnt out or overwhelmed, or they're doing something marginally well, but they're ready to go to a next level. Like, what does that look like for them when they're sitting in that space? And it's kind of like maybe they're noodling on the ideas, should I start looking for help with this? Or do I just need to figure out a way to make this work in my life today, right? Here's what it really, I think, is going to boil down to is the return on the investment. Like if they're doing a certain amount and they can start to, like you said, that they know Facebook or Meta ads is working for them, but what about like Instagram growth or TikTok or these types of things? Because these are the things that take the most time, right? Building out these visuals, I think, is the longest one.
It depends if you're trying to figure out the organic marketing aspect of it, but I think your question underneath it is like, how do you know what to do and when to do it and how much of it to do? And I think if you're kind of like in that six figure space, you're still doing a lot of testing. And if you're doing anything organic takes time, with quotations, right? Like there's some people obviously in the top, 0.5% that really figure out Instagram growth because they've just been hacking at it, hacking at it, hacking at it. And then at some point, something hits. Maybe someone reposts you. That's huge. And all of a sudden, you have this growth and it kind of starts playing, right? But in that six figure space, a lot of it is testing and testing in a way that you're not going to go broke. So knowing that like you have a certain amount of money to invest in marketing, like if you can hand things off, great. And just make sure that you're consistently testing, whether it's Google Ads, SEO, organic social, maybe even influencer marketing and reaching out to people. You're just kind of testing at that point. When it makes sense to bring in like a fractional CMO is when you're in that 3 to 3 million plus type range. It would be closer to five, because most fractional CMOs cost anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000 a month, and some are much more. And so you need to have the budget to be able to hire the strategic resource. They're going to build a plan, but then you also need a budget to actually implement the plan, right? While having the strategic resource. And so you need a certain amount of capital to be able to do that.
And you
And
need a lead time. You got to be thinking of your lead time. Like you got to have a good 90 days,
easily.
at least, because it just, I'd love to say the AI algorithm is so fantastic now. It's like cut down. And I have heard marketing agencies say that. But the reality is, there's also other things going on. They're shifting all the algorithms around. And then it's messing with the ads. The ads aren't performing the way they used to, and it's just making everything feel like we're all starting over again.
That's 100% it. That's the problem when you rely on one channel. Like that, if that channel shifts and changes, like and all your leads came from that channel, your business is in trouble, right? So most people, and I think this kind of would be helpful to the audience, is that I think about like when I was doing my mini MBA, there's two types of problems. There's a technical problem and there's an adaptive problem. And technical problems are problems where everyone knows what the issue is and there's one set solution, right? And so an example of that is like I walk through my kitchen, find that my faucet is leaking. My wife knows that, my brother knows that, the plumber that comes in knows that, fixes the faucet, replaces the hose, or whatever needs to be done. It's solved and it's done. That's a technical problem, right? But an adaptive problem is much more difficult. And so there is no set solution for an adaptive problem. And you need multiple people to help you with an adaptive problem. And the whole thing around adaptive problems is that either things move in a positive direction or a negative direction. They never actually have a set solution. So when you start thinking about things like, global warming, right? For example, it can either be moved in a positive or negative direction. If you think about business, it can either move in a positive or negative direction. If you sell it, it's someone else's problem. It's still a problem, right? And then when you look at marketing, it's the exact same thing. You're either moving your marketing in a positive direction, 1% a day or 1% a week, and that's going to compound, or you're moving in a negative direction at 1%, negative 1% a week or month, and it's not going the right way. And so most people, when they go into marketing, I think when they're saying that we're running marketing, they're really meaning we're doing advertising. Advertising meaning I'm spending some money to get on Facebook or, back in the day, it used to be into newspapers and print ads and all that stuff, right? But now when we say marketing, most people mean I'm running ads, which means you're actually advertising. If you're really doing marketing, you're going, how many touch points can I get to my customers? So that when we do run our ad, we're also doing email marketing, we're also doing follow-ups, we're also touching in different ways. Maybe we're sending them, a happy birthday every single year because we know that we need way more than seven touch points today to get someone to want to sell to, right?
Yep.
And most agencies and most marketers are selling, hey, I'll run your advertising and you'll get a ton of customers. Yeah, maybe initially, maybe not. There's a lot of money that you have to put in, a lot of creative testing that you need to do. And so I think most people have to get back into the mindset of like, I got to build out marketing. And to build out marketing, it requires time, right? For people to get to know who you are and what your brand is and what you stand up for.
Well, in a layered approach, like you were saying, makes a heck of a lot more sense. And I think it's true. That's another little red flag to look out for when you're talking to an agency is what happens after? Like, so they'll do a great job getting like clicks on your ad or even clicks to your site. People are clicking on your site, but if they're not asking you, like, how can we optimize your page? What are you, how can we impact your sales funnel or process? You could spend a lot of money and not get a lot of return, and it's not their fault necessarily. They did what you hired them to do. They ran ads, they got the traffic. What you do with it, that's your business. You know,
Hundred percent, yeah,
I mean, they're out
yeah,
there.
yeah. I was just talking to a business last week, and they're spending $5,500 on their marketing. They're like, "Beta, we're not getting the results we want." And like April, and when I went and looked at the data, like I literally went and sat down with him, looked through his dashboard, looked through all his stuff. He hired me for a consulting engagement, and I went through and I was like, "Listen, like, there's so much wasted money here. Like, do you see how you spent $3,500 and just got one lead this month, and then the next month was like three leads?" I'm like, you need a minimum of 20 leads to make this actually worth, like based on his numbers, right? For his business. I'm like, you need at least 20 to make this actually positive ROI. And the months that you're telling me that you had really, really good months aren't correlating with any of the data that they put in here. Like the data is just not even accurate. He had no access to his Google My Business. He had no access to his Google ads. Like, and when we asked for the Google ads access, we're like, sorry, we just do it through our platform, so you got to get the data there. I'm like, the data is not even accurate. Like, how are we supposed
And
to use
that's
it?
such baloney anyway, because
Right?
everybody has to have their own Google Ads account. They can give you access and you can manage
Exactly.
it from your account, but they have to have an account first. That makes no
Exactly.
sense.
Exactly. They
Oh
had
my gosh.
Geo4 set up. They were charging them $500 a month to do two Google My Business posts a month, and they weren't
Oh
even
my
doing that.
goodness.
Yeah. And so the customer doesn't know. And I was like, okay, first off, here's what you need to do. You need to do this, this, and this, cut this. There's $6,000 saved literally a year because you just didn't know how, like, this would have taken you less than 10 minutes to do yourself,
Yeah,
right?
right.
And he paid me $500 an hour. I was like, man, you probably should have paid me way more an hour because I'm just literally saving you so much money by telling you what you need to cut, what they should cost at, and also why this agency is essentially scamming you. Because most large agencies, like, they just bring customers in and out, and then they basically have either outsourced resources working on it. No one's really looking at your account. So it's so important to just know you have the right partners in place.
That's incredible. Goodness gracious. I'm so excited for this conversation. I could geek out on this all day. And then also to talk to somebody who understands. And I feel like we're doing such a good thing for the audience because these are all the scary stories that they hear from people, you know. It
Yeah.
is
Yeah.
true,
It
you
hurts
know.
me. It hurts. Like I don't do a lot of like business consulting sessions, just like as an FY, but this was like, it's a smaller business. They're getting taken advantage of. I'm like, listen, I will happily meet you and walk you through it just so you know. Because I
Yeah.
just like, I know what it's like to be a smaller business and just like, I can't figure this out. Is my agency actually helping me? And a lot of
Okay.
times it just takes so much advantage.
Here's
Like
an
it's,
idea for you.
yeah.
Come up with like a checklist of things people should look for and
Yeah.
ask because they just don't know what to ask. Like
Yeah.
you said, like a Google business listing, if they're charging you 500 a month to keep that up, and I bet you I would just put money on it that they hadn't optimized it for locations. Like, I don't know. It seems like to me that is the one thing nobody thinks about, but it's such a powerful thing to do and it's so
Yeah.
simple. Oh my goodness. But
Yeah, like
yes.
actually tell Google where your services are based. Yeah,
Yes. And people
hit
just
it.
do one and they don't realize you could do 20. And sometimes, like where I live, even it's a small town. And so I could do business if I was a local provider, you know, within 100 mile radius because it's North Idaho and everybody drives everywhere. But you got to know the little tiny town names like around there and put those in or it won't populate. Like it's just simple little stuff like that that. What gets me is how much they charge and do such a bad job. I could, the integrity, like, where's
Yeah, there's no
the
integrity in this space. Sometimes there's
integrity?
no integrity. I'd say 90% of agencies don't have any integrity. And
Oh,
I don't mean like everyone's trying to make a living and trying to do their
yeah.
best, but like
And I
it's
know
just
there's good
rough.
ones out there and they're listening to this and they're like, that's not me. And I'm like, I know you're out there, but that's why
Yeah.
people have you, Badad, because they can connect with you and you are the one fishing out these people and, helping to make this matchmaker connection. I think we've done a good job of showing how valuable you are.
Yeah. And thanks for sharing. And so the note of those resources you mentioned, like I have those resources. Just literally go to my website. To the bottom, it's free. There's a whole resource section, how much you should be paying agencies, what kind of questions you should be asking. They're all there. So if
Good.
you're finding your own agencies, like literally just grab those. You'll have a whole bunch of questions and even like what to look for in answers. Because that's a lot of that is like, okay, I'm asking the question, but what does the answer need to be? Right?
Right. Like, what's the red flag versus the green flag? Like, how do you know?
Yes, exactly.
I love it. No, that's fantastic. What is your website, by the way, since we just mentioned it?
Yeah, it's www.cjammarketing.com. And then just go to the bottom. There's resources in the footer, and there's a whole bunch of things there.
Okay, so let's just recap. So what I'm hearing you say for the listening audience is there's two angles. You could be thinking about doing like a marketing plan, which is going to be a layered, more dynamic approach, which is ultimately more effective, but also sometimes not as quick to have return on investment, right? Because you can just run ads and make quick cash, so to speak. Quick meaning, being a, what's the word I'm trying to say? It's not a guarantee, but it's going to be faster than a full-on
So
marketing
like you're
strategy.
looking for like the silver bullet, or you're just trying to get things to
Yes,
happen quick.
yeah. So, I mean, obviously, anybody who runs ads is always going to tell you this is the fastest way to make money. And it's true most of the time, especially if you're comparing to a long-form strategy or other strategies. However, you're at the mercy of the platform and the algorithm and all those things. And then, as soon as your ad budget dries up or it doesn't perform like it did, now you're back to square one. So, you do need to have a marketing plan and a layered approach. Own your list, focus on list building, all of that. So those are kind of two different angles they can be thinking about. Are you a fractional CMO? Is that,
I'm not a fractional CMO. I totally could be, but no, I don't
you
do it
just pair
myself because
people
I
up
just
with people.
connect.
Okay.
Yeah,
That
and I
makes
even connect people
sense.
with fractional CMOs because I most fractional CMOs can only really take on two big customers and then maybe three small ones, and then you're maxed out.
Right.
And I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. No, I love it. I love your approach. I think you're the only person I've ever met that does this. And I think this is super exciting that we connected because it's so valuable. So those are the two angles. And depending on where you're at as far as your budget goes and what your immediate demands are. So, I'm assuming yes, but do fractional CMOs also run ads or no?
The answer to that is that it depends. So fractional CMOs come from different backgrounds, right? So a lot of the times, if you're getting a true fractional CMO, I'd be surprised if they knew how to run ads still. Right? Like that's not their job. Their job is to be strategic. And there's different types of fractional CMOs, right? So there's like I also consider like verticals, right? So if you think of a Fortune 100 or Fortune 500 CMO, right? That's now a fractional CMO. Their job is to sit and take in information and then decide what makes sense to do. So they're not sort of they're very reactive, not proactive. Versus there's other fractional CMOs that are used to building with startups. They're used to building with like seven-figure businesses and going up. And these fractional CMOs actually have to build marketing environments from scratch. And so typically what you're going to be finding there is that they know how to do more things than a normal traditional fractional CMO does that builds strategy and then manages a team. They're actually finding out what the strategy is that they want to run, running it, and then building a team around them. And so, to answer your question, is not a lot of fractional CMOs are going to be good at actually buying the ads and running the ads. They might know the basics of it, but at some point, they're going to need to outsource that to someone who does that really effectively so they can start running the other parts of the marketing machine.
Okay. And I totally agree with that because, like, you have an engineer mind, you're an analytical by nature person, which is super important in the marketing area, but then you also have people who their skill is that visionary, that big picture thinker, and they kind of get into the messaging and the positioning and playing matchmaker between the
Yeah.
customer and the client, and that's a whole nother like type of brain,
That's a whole other brain. Yeah. And I'm learning how to use that part of my brain. Like I'm not like a like I'm pretty decent given the marketing and the like I'm bringing those two brains together, but it's a lot of times like a fractional CMO will either have what you just said, like a branding background, messaging, how to get like the targeting out there. But then there's the other type of fractional CMO that's more of a growth minded. So they're like, okay, I don't care about the brand messaging stuff, but that's important. I need to know that that's there. But how do we then amplify that? We can amplify it through ads, through email marketing, through conferences. How are we going to say this? What kind of things are we going to run here? How are we going to say this messaging in a way that people resonate with it? And then you have them like running the channels. And so Typically, FCMOs break into those two categories. And every now and then, you run across a unicorn that can do both. And those are very rare.
Yeah, I would bet.
Very, very
I would
rare.
bet. And even though they can do both, doesn't mean that's like their preferred thing to do. I feel like I'm almost there. So I was an internet director for a car dealership, and I was had to do both. So I know how to run ads. I don't particularly love it. Like I can also get into the data. I love the data side of it. It's that
Yeah.
tedium of sitting there, putting up with Google's pain in the buttness. I don't know what the right word is.
Yeah,
They're just
fair,
Google
fair.
is just like my nemesis. But you know, and I would just much rather have somebody else to say, here, you take this, they need this, go do
Yes,
it.
exactly. And some people
Absolutely.
love the numbers. Like some people love diving into the numbers. Just last week, I talked to a media buyer, and he works with nine customers, e-commerce based. And he charges $11,500 per customer
Oh my
because he
gosh.
literally gets down to projection level type stuff where he's like, here's the type of products you need. This is where we're at. This is where your order's at. Like he gets deep. And so he runs Facebook, Meta, and he does this whole forecasting on top of it. But he loves the numbers. And I just literally looked in. I was like, dude, how are like, you got nine customers each paying you minimum 11,500. Don't scale. Like literally, this is the best you're going to have in business. Just take care of those customers really, really well, and just you'll pick up a couple more and you're good to go, right?
Yeah, really.
So there are people that like are true masters and they love the data. Like you want those people running your accounts, especially when your budgets are like $100,000 a month plus, right?
Right. Yeah, 'cause they have the bandwidth to juggle all of that from all the different angles.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, this is phenomenal. I feel like you and I could keep talking, but I feel like the audience is probably going to get bored to be the fly on the wall while you and I are just super geeked out on this 'cause it's clearly something we both enjoy.
Yes, exactly.
So give us all your website just one more time so people can connect with you.
Sure, yeah. So www.cjammarketing.com. And as mentioned, there's resources at the bottom if you want to collect them. And another place to find me is on LinkedIn. I'm there quite often. So if you want to connect there as well, I put a lot of thought leadership out there as well so that people can find the right marketing partners and connect with humans deeper as well.
Yeah, I agree. I'm so excited about that's like my favorite thing to do is to like get to know people beyond. That's part of why I do podcasting because it's so much more, I feel like you build a relationship with people. Okay, all of those links will be in the description. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, bye for now.